This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Some great results from the Hamilton Club, well, hosted Hamilton Club, Waikato area with Pez.
We ended up with 21 tables even without you, Mariana. By the way, folks, if you've heard about some crazy woman in a red Ferrari driving around the streets of Maranello or wherever the heck she is, yep, it was Mariana.
Yep, amazing.
So she just sent me a photo of her doing a test drive in a red Ferrari. Very cool.
So, who took out that tournament?
Don't think they'd mind me saying that it was probably a bit of an upset to see Aaron Starr and Rob Davies, who had a dream day. They won every match except for the last one. They were that far in front by then. They didn't get caught. And during his acceptance speech, was it Aaron or Rob? One of them said that, look, they just thought they'd come down and see if they could win a couple of matches. And here they were on the podium.
Well, tell me, was it the tall one or the short one that was talking?
It was the shorter one.
Ah, yep.
That's Which Rob. One's that?
That's Rob.
That's Rob. Yep.
So, how about that? So, yeah. Come down?
Yes.
Awesome. Actually, from memory, I'm pretty sure the last time Rob came it down to Hamilton Club, he won that tournament too. Pretty sure it was the restricted pairs.
He said he was playing in the restricted pairs. This time he was playing in the 10A Waikato Regional Swiss pairs.
Yep.
So this is a biggie. So they won, and they won pretty easily by about 10 VPs in the finish from Zachary Yarn and Kevin Hu, Richard Solomon and Anna Kalmer coming in third. 42 pairs, was the rooms were full. Nice. We were lucky enough to have Judge Julie directing. What a fantastic job she did. I don't know whether I can remember playing in a tournament directed by Judge Julie. I can see what all the fuss is about. She was excellent.
Nice. Didn't have a power cut or anything like that?
No power cuts this time. Everything went pretty smooth. Everything went pretty smoothly. Yeah.
Pleased to hear.
Yep. Great day.
Well done, you know, Rob and Aaron.
Face-to-face bridge, 21 tables. It was all good.
Can't complain.
I understand that you haven't been playing any bridge over there, that you've been far too busy zooming around town in the red Ferrari or whatever.
But I have organised a game in Hong Kong last week over here in Italy. Then we make our way heading back to New Zealand, coming home. And next week I'll be in Hong Kong. So I've got a couple of games lined up there. So I'll be able to tell you what's happening
what
again.
What like in Hong Kong? I have played bridge in Hong Kong, but not for many years.
Yeah, well, I'm going back to the place that I played in June. Yeah, so that should be cool. I'll have something to report about that. Now, other than Congress, because we flipped an email off to Bridget Wilcox, asked her if she could find some time to give us a current update on what's happening at Congress. So if you haven't entered yet, get in and enter the menu. The program's been out for a little while and now you've got the fancy posters just to confirm exactly what's happening, when and where.
What they've done is there's no early bird discount this year, but the winners, they drew four names out of people that that had a chance to win a free entry to Congress.
Oh, yeah.
So four people won a free entry to Congress and I read somewhere who that was. I just can't remember. Rebecca Osborne was one of them.
Marg Scott from Marlborough. Rebecca Osborne's from Tauranga Club. Claus Dorbecker from Karori. And Judith Somerville from Mount Maunganui.
Oh, well done. It's good to see you're still working for the Bridge Zone.
Yeah.
I didn't pick that.
So obviously they entered and paid by the 31st of August. So yeah, I've had a bit too much on my mind to get that organised, so damn it, Janet, missed out on that chance, but anyway, Chris, here I come. I'd be a bit scratchy though, Barry.
Yeah, well, I'd be worried if I was you. I think those games in Hong Kong are all that you're going to the only thing that you're going to have.
I know I might be able to get a couple of games on Real Bridge. We'll see. Haven't got too much free time at the moment, and we are recording. It is 20 past 6 in the morning in New Zealand, and I am 20 past 8 in the evening. We're having a late dinner tonight.
Okay, just a few results from around, from back here in Aotearoa. And the Levin Multigrade Swiss Pairs was held as well. And you'll be interested to know the winners of this. Morgan Booker and Zheng Zhang won that.
Yeah,
So,
cool.
friends of yours, Graham Stronach and Sandy McCurdy came in second. Other events around there, Papakura had a restricted 8B pairs. Winners of that one were Carol Beasley and Bret Hart. Second were Ben Wang and Val Gardner. Haven't seen Val out and around too much lately. Good to see her out and about. The Whangarei Open pairs. Bugger,
Oh, was
forget
that
that.
just recently, was it?
This was all just this weekend. Yeah,
Ah, I see.
sorry.
Right. Yep.
Some of these results not coming up. I couldn't read the Central Otago teams either. However, there was the Hawera Open pairs and the Thames Restricted pairs. I'll just have a quick look at those. So the Hawera Open pairs won by Catherine Gibbets and Campbell Priest from Jerry Palmer and Scott Smith. They made a big trip to Hawera to play in that one.
Yeah.
Thames Restricted pairs, they had 12 and a half tables there. Jeremy Fraser-Hoskin went down and played with Heather Robertson. Racked up a 62 and a 61, which was only just enough to hang on from Alex Barshaw and Jenna Robson, the locals, who had a 68.88 in the afternoon. To not quite get up.
Oh, wow.
Interestingly enough, Rob Davies was third in that with Pam Brown. So after his win in the 10A the previous day at Hamilton.
Good on him. See, you just
So
keep going, don't you, Barry?
there's plenty of bridge going on without you.
Is there anything special coming up before Congress?
That one was probably the main event that was being held this weekend in our area. I think there's a 3A coming up in Howick, and next week there's a 5A coming up in Franklin. That's about it. There is an online teams in Auckland on Thursday.
Yeah.
There is a big event coming up this weekend. The Canterbury Regional Pairs is held. That's a 10A. So that's being held on the Saturday. The Howick Open Pairs. On the Sunday, Dargaville held their annual Kauri Open Pairs. It's always a good one to play in. Interestingly enough, the following weekend, there's a bit of an unusual initiative amongst, and you might have seen this, the online, it's a mini B Congress, the Greymouth Open Pairs on the Friday. They've got the Picton Open Teams on the Saturday, and then the Motueka Open Swiss Pairs on the Sunday. So these are all online events. They're all 8B events. Be interesting to see what sort of numbers they get for those.
Right.
Canterbury have actually got a mini congress coming up, not this weekend coming, but the following weekend. This weekend they've got the Canterbury Regional Pairs. Next weekend they've got their open teams on the Saturday. They've also got their junior teams and their intermediate teams. And on the Sunday are all the pairs events.
Okay.
So Canterbury got a bit of a big weekend coming up. Straight into
Yeah.
Congress after that.
We're emceeing the quiz night again. So if you had fun last year, Barry and I will hope to just add more to the quiz night. Don't know how we're going to do that, but we'll come up with something.
Dean Soule does all the work and he's very good at it. He's the quiz master.
Oh,
So
he's great.
I'm pleased he's doing all the heavy lifting.
And we'll have our little, oh, what was it last year? Why did the chicken cross the road? That's right. So bring your pen, and we might be a bit, little bit more organized this year. We might have some paper, real paper, for you to write on. Last year, everyone was scrambling. We used the serviettes, and that was pretty cool. We're now heading into the final segment of Peter Holland's piece on hand evaluation. I know it can be a bit much when he's talking about hands and you don't quite get the picture, but I have a solution for you. If you would like to receive the entire tape, please let me know, bridzoneshuffle@gmail.com, and I will send you the link. So here's the last bit. Enjoy.
Let's say you play splinters or other conventions, and partner said, "I've got enough points to play in game, And I've got a Singleton Heart. Now, if you don't play Splinters, don't worry. Just talking about hand visualization, Splinters are a great convention for helping you with hand visualization. So what I mean by this bid is partner's got enough points to play in four spades, so they've got four card spade support, and they've got a Singleton Heart and about 10 to 14 high card points. So can we give them a 10 count or an 11 count that can make slam here? So again, if we say partner had the Ace of Clubs, the Ace of Diamonds, and the King of Spades, but had a Singleton Heart here, now we could actually make slam. We could rough three of our hearts, potentially, and we would have the Ace of Clubs, and the Ace of Diamonds, and the King of Spades, so we would be able to just lose our third round club. So here, slam's a lot closer once you start visualizing partner's hand, if they had a hand like that. So with bidding and trying to bid to slam, usually, when you've got distributional hands, what I like to do, rather than just count high card points, is to think, what specific cards do I think my partner may have? And how would the hand go? So basically, I'm playing the hand in my head first, and then seeing how it would actually go. How can I get rid of my losers? And can I make enough tricks? Anyway, thanks for watching. Hope you enjoyed this one. We're talking about hand evaluation. We talked about the basics, part one, high card points, where we count four for an ace, three for a king, two for a queen, one for a jack. We talked about length points, which you count before you find a fit, and shortage points after you find a fit. So here we would count 1 point for a five card suit on this hand, but as soon as partner raises spades, we stop counting that and we count our singleton. And we mentioned it's dangerous to count both your shortage points and your high card points if it's a singleton honor. So if I had singleton queen of diamonds, I tend to just choose whatever is the higher valued thing. It's not worth two for the queen and three for the singleton. And the way you can sort of justify this is with all the adjustments we talked about, honors in short suits aren't great. Honors that aren't connected to the other ones are not great. So for both of those reasons, you can downgrade that. We also talked about the adjustments where aces, kings, and tens are all underrated in the way that we count them. So it's about like 4.3 for an ace, and kings are 3.3, whereas queens and jacks, they're actually already overrated. A queen isn't worth 2 points. A jack isn't worth 1 point, but it's pretty close. So basically, I look for a hand, and if it's full of queens and jacks, then I'll downgrade it. If it's got lots of aces and kings, then I'll upgrade it. Other things to look for are intermediates in your long suits. So 10s, 9s, 8s in your long suits are pretty good. Also, we want to look at the location of our points. We want our points to be in our long suits, and we want them to be clustered together. A queen that's connected to a higher honor is much better than a queen by itself. So those factors make hands stronger. Bad hand shapes include 4 triple 3s. 4 4 1s are also awkward to bid and play. And another bad factor is not having any aces. Aces are fantastic. If you've got aces, like your hand. If you don't have aces, you should be a little bit more hesitant. Good hand shapes. Anytime you've got 10 cards in two suits, that's a fantastic hand shape. Anything more than that is really strong. And what you want to look for on those is, do you have a primary fit in your long suits? If you find a fit in one of your shorter suits, your hand is nowhere near as powerful. And then finally, we wanted to talk about hand visualization, where we're talking about when we're trying to bid a hand, think of the specific cards you want your partner to have, and then just try and play the hand out in your head before you bid, because you might realize where you can actually get to. This is common when you're bidding to slams, after partner preamps, or if your partner makes some descriptive bid, if you've got conventions which highlight a bit about their shape or things like that, you might be able to really bid to some aggressive places or realize how bad the hand is actually getting and sort of pull back a bit. Hope you enjoyed this lesson.
We'll catch up with Peter sometime real soon. And we're heading into Barry's tip. Let's see what he's pulled out of his hat.
Well, this is an oldie but a goodie, I suppose. And this is, when you're in a suit contract and you're a declarer, you should count your losers and try and work out a way that you can get rid of them. Maybe you can rough them. Maybe you can set up a long suit so that you can three losers out on it.
Right.
So when you're in a suit contract, it's losers that you should be counting, you know, losers you've got to lose and which ones you can maybe try and avoid by roughing or discarding on a long suit. That's the two main ways. But when you're in a no trump contract, you tend to count your winners, because if you're in three no trumps, you need nine winners. Add them up, see how many you've got.
Right.
So, and sometimes you have to set up a suit while you've still got control of everything else. If you haven't got nine winners on top, look to see what suit is the most likely one for you to set up some more winners.
Oh, yeah.
So There you go. Count your losers in a suit and count your winners in no trump. And you'll be a winner. Hopefully, not a loser.
Yeah, sometimes it does get a bit confusing for me. Why can't you count your losers and no trumps? And why is there such a difference?
It's an interesting thought. It seems to be that usually that what you need to eliminate in a suit, winners is what you need to increase when you're in no trumps. I guess the same thing sort of applies the other way around.
Yeah. It
seems to be the go-to method for the clearer play is losers, winners. That's what you look for. Whether you're in Hong Kong or whether you're in the middle of Italy somewhere or whether you're back in New Zealand, winners and losers are what it's all about.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Good morning, Judge Julie. Another week?
Yep, another week. And how are you?
Good, thank you.
And where are you?
I am in Italy.
Enjoying yourself, are you?
Have you not seen the photograph, Julie, of Mariana test driving a red Ferrari yesterday around the streets of Italy?
Around the streets of Italy. Okay, no, I have not.
I'll send it to you.
Okay, I'd love to see that.
She was looking right at home.
I have a grandson who will absolutely fall over himself to see it.
Oh, that's cool.
So this is the perfect segue. Speaking of red things travelling at speed, stop guards, as of today, are no longer to be used at bridge tournaments in New Zealand. Well, we did talk about it a week or two ago. It was mooted. It says this does not prevent clubs from continuing to require their use during club sessions. I don't know what this is all going to mean, Julie. How do clubs decide what to do?
Well, it's interesting. I'm just reading it now. This decision was taken after considering their use internationally, their inconsistent and inappropriate use nationally, and comments and increasing concerns from players. So the whole point of a regulation is that if you're going to regulate something, you enforce it, and that it is adhered to by the players. Since their introduction, they have been used inconsistently. They have not been enforced particularly well because the players don't call the director. Well, I'm not saying it's the directing staff necessarily, but that the players don't call it. A vast majority of people that you play against, if you put a stop card out, majority of players wait till you put it away and then they start asking questions. And I am a proponent of the use of stop cards. I think that they can be used really effectively. But if they can't be used properly and they can't be used well, basically the players that are playing ignore it when people use them appropriately or not, then what is the point of the regulation? Getting rid of the regulation, I doubt very much is going to change very much at all at tournaments.
And what about clubs?
Well, with clubs, the point is that when we use regulations at a club, we are doing it so that when our players go and play tournaments, they are not hit by, well, what the hell do I do now? Confusion about the regulations, about alerts, stop card, all the things that we have. We want them to learn. So clubs generally incorporate what New Zealand Bridge sets because that's to the advantage of their players at the club who play tournaments. And so I would anticipate that clubs will also equally get rid of them.
If you did use them at the club and then you went to a tournament and found out they weren't there, you'd have to get
so
used
you're
to that.
You're hesitating, right? And now you've got a problem because you're hesitating.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I think that it's a can of worms. When we stop to think because we're allowed to and we've got something unexpected that's happened at a high level, we are going to tell our partner we've got some values or not. That's okay. The problem is if partner makes a bid that isn't 80-odd percent what everybody else would do, but we're not going to sit there and think about it. We're going to sit there and bid. And we may or may not go back to appeals being held until 2 a.m. in the morning. I don't know, but that's what we came from to a large degree before the introduction. On the other hand, to be fair, the fact that they're not used properly disadvantages people all over the place as well. So as I said, if a regulation isn't being enforced and if your players are ignoring it wholesale, and they do, about the way it works and what they do, then why have the regulation? Vote with your feet. And seriously, I mean, people don't use them properly and they don't use them well. There we are.
Just hoping a lot of those people that stayed up for those appeals until 2 in the morning are a bit older, and maybe they don't want to stay up till 2 in the morning.
If you're on the appeal committee or you're the director, you don't hear a lot of talk about it.
I think clubs should chuck them out.
I believe strongly that clubs should be in line with what New Zealand Bridge regulates. Yeah. So from that perspective, yes. All right. But I think that it's a shame in some ways. On the other hand, as I've said, it is a regulation that has never, ever operated well. And if you've got a regulation that is being ignored by the players, then at some point you should not be using that regulation anymore.
Actually, I sent out a message on the Hamilton Match Committee's WhatsApp group saying that what's happened, that stop cards are no longer to be used. And you know, so far, two replies, both saying, yeah, well, we should bin them.
I mean, as I said, I'm a proponent, but they have never been used well. The players themselves have never called particularly well when people don't use them. They don't follow the rules about using them because everyone has a lot of confusion. So the whole thing is, this just doesn't work. It doesn't
a dog's
work.
Breakfast.
Yeah, that's the one. And if it doesn't work, you should either change it, rewrite it, or lose it.
I can see where you're coming from. Anyway, let's get on to a better subject. We've got Congress coming up. We have a lot of junior and intermediate players going along there for maybe their first visit. What should they be thinking about to not get in trouble with any directors or other players?
Okay, so I thought maybe we might look at this over the next few weeks as we build up to Congress. Yep. The first one is when someone asks you a question about what does something mean and you don't know. Somebody opens two hearts and the other person says, what does that mean? And then they say, how many does it show? And you think, oh, I don't know. I think it's 5 or 6. You say something and then the person says, well, does it show whatever? And you feel like you have to answer. Okay. So really, really importantly is that when someone asks you a question about what does a bid mean, or if they follow it up, and sometimes with a reasonable amount of harassment from your point of view, you're feeling intimidated and you don't know what to say and it's a new experience, say you don't know. If you say something and it's not what your partner's got, next thing the director's at the table and they've been misinformed and they think that they should have a different result and all sorts of things happen. If you don't know and you say you don't know, the next thing that happens is that the director can be called. It's not because you've done anything wrong, you're doing everything right. And they will send you away from the table so your partner can explain the agreement. You only explain what you have agreed or, with partnership experience, what may well have occurred several times to make it an agreement. So an inferred agreement or an actual agreement are what you explain to your opponents. If you don't know what your partner's doing and you have no idea what it means, you can tell them that. They do not have to know. If you're getting a barrage, and it does happen, and it happens because people are also nervous around you because no one knows each other in the junior, intermediate level. A lot of people are first timers. Then just say you don't know and say, look, if you have a problem, let's call the director. The director is there to take the problem away from you. The director will tell you what you have to tell them and what isn't necessary to tell them. So they will take the problem away from you and give you the information that you need and the opponents the information they are entitled to.
Jules, can you say, oh, I don't know, and pass them your system card?
You can say, I don't know, but look at my system card. Just tell them, look at it. It should be on the table. And the other one is don't say, I think it is. or I'm assuming, or, you know, this is what I think it means, because that is not saying the agreement, and that is digging a hole for you and your partner. Do not make statements that aren't what your system is, all right? And I know, look, you're sitting there and there's someone you're terrified of, and we've all been there, and they're asking these questions and you're thinking, I don't know what to say. So deep breath. If you don't know, say you don't know. Don't say I think or I assume or I gather or whatever the thing might be, because then you are misleading your opponents and then you're going to dig a deeper hole.
Cool.
And the director is your friend in these situations.
Yep. Awesome.
I guess with that sort of thing, I mean, if you do know, if it's something that your partner's done before and that you probably should know, can you get in trouble for not disclosing?
Well, I had one where it was footage, right? Mm. It went one no trim opener, two clubs single suited, was asked. I think it was two diamonds single suited. And partner said, it's single suited, but normally the majors, right? Well, how do you know it's normally the majors? Either you have an agreement that it's the majors, and I think partner thought they were playing multi-landing, or single suited. But it is not, gee, I don't know, but I'm going to make you panic about what it might be or might not be, right?
Yeah.
So it was an interesting one. But anyway, think of things when you're playing for your first time about the incidents that occur that create issues, because that's one of the big ones.
Yeah.
Like I can remember what happened when I played for the first time, right? That'd be...
I can remember. I thought Congress was amazing the first time I played. Couldn't wait for the next
and I
year.
Played against a couple who were clearly hesitating left, right, and centre. And then they accused us of taking advantage of the questions we were asking, and all hell broke loose. And I directed a lot at that point, and I knew to call the director, but I was just seriously intimidated by the fact these people, first time I'm playing at Congress, meeting all these different people, just terrified. You know? Yep. And they know more than I do, is what we all think, and they just absolutely don't.
All right. Well, thank you. That's all for this week. We'll catch you next week.
Okay, bye.
Well, that's enough from us this week, people. Enjoy your time at the bridge table, and we'll catch you next week.
No more driving around in red Ferraris for you?
No,
see you next
but
week.
Guess what, Barry? A little what? Birdie jumped on my shoulder last night, and there is a small chance that we're actually going to drive an Aston Martin today.
Wow, okay. Well, we'll look forward to hearing all about that next week.
Yeah, will do. See ya.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.